So I said, you look hotter than usual today. Thank you. Michael? Head of the table?
Actually, sir, I'm going to need to take this chair.
Just leave them. So. Leave them alone, please. They're on a date. They look very happy.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan, Nick, and Weiss here with you for the very first time. We got the trio together. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Follow Nick at Nick Zoraris. Wow. Throwing that extra Twitter handle in there really just it alters the tempo of the intro, so I'm going to have to get used to that. Subscribe to our podcast everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We're back. We're so back. The Giants aren't back, but we're back. I am back from podcast paternity leave. I was not leaving the pod. Weiss and I were not beefing. I had some people slide into my DMs asking me where I was, if I was coming back. Here I am. I'm back.
Are you serious? They were sliding into your DMs?
Oh, yeah. They were like, oh, like, are you coming back to the pod? Like, everything good between you and Weiss? I'm like, yeah, bro, wow. I just had a kid. Like, it's not that deep. I mean, it is a little deep, but, you know, there's no Twitter beef going on.
I got one DM asking if you something happened to you, and I said, no, he's fine. He's just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm still getting food takes off. I'm still shit posting. Yeah. So, you know, it's, again, it's not that deep. Just had a kid. No big deal, guys.
All right.
Confirmed one-time sex haver.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ethan. So Ethan's a dad. I'm a dad. Nick, you're going to be a dad one day, hopefully.
Next.
Don't say that for a little while, please.
That's what they all say. That's what they all say. You never know. But it's a great feeling, right, Ethan?
A great feeling. Yes.
It is. Awesome.
Yeah, very happy.
Awesome. So congrats to you, my man.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do Stock Up, Stock Down, featuring the Thanksgiving game. Stock Up, Stock Down is presented by Mojo. Mojo's live in New Jersey now. It is the sponsor of the show. Download Mojo in the Apple App Store today and start turning playmakers into money makers. All right, guys, I'm going to list off some matchups. I'm going to tell you, I want you guys to tell me who would you guys rather invest in going into Thanksgiving games. We'll start right off the bat, two elite receivers. I spoke about CeeDee Lamb earlier in the week with Nick about how I think he's emerging as one of the top 10 receivers in this league. But CeeDee Lamb, 1939, entering Thursday against Stephon Diggs, who's at 25-55. Ethan, who are you going with? Putting money into?
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Think he's going to have a big game against... They're familiar with that dome now, so...
Yeah, exactly. I just... As much as I love CeeDee Lamb, I don't think he will ever ascend to the level that Stephon Diggs is.
Okay. Nick?
Yeah, I'll completely start. Took the words out of my mouth. Stephon Diggs is like wide receiver 2 in all of fantasy right now. He's been amazing this year.
All right. Two running back matchups. I'll throw one to you, Nick, and then I'll throw one to you, Ethan. Ethan, Tony Pollard, 1291 versus Devin Singletary, 1039. Remember, Buffalo has figured out that they can run the football now.
Still going with Tony Pollard. Okay. Value. I know value-wise, it's probably not the smartest decision, but especially for the long term, I think that he is the guy in Dallas. I think they bring him back. And I know that Zeke played last week and he played well, but he still has some injury concerns, so I'm taking Pollard.
Jerry Jones probably hates what you just said right now.
That sucks for Jerry Jones. He should be better at investing in expensive assets then.
All right. Nick, nice little swipe at Jerry Jones, by the way. Nick, Jamal Williams leads the league in rushing touchdowns this year, which is wild, against James Cook, who's emerged with Devin Singletary in this like new running game that the Bills have. Who do you think is going to have the big game? And obviously long-term, James Cook is the better player. But in terms of Sunday, who can make you the most money?
Jamal Williams for sure. He's their red zone running back. They have two other running backs on the roster in Detroit, but Jamal Williams is the one who's getting the ball consistently in the red zone. There's a reason he's leading the league in rushing touchdowns.
All right, two quarterback matchups. I'll throw one to each of you, and then you guys can tell me both long-term in terms of the rest of the season and short-term Thursday's games. Jared Goff at $45.82 versus Kirk Cousins, $67.25. Goff had a very pedestrian game-managing game against the Giants. Obviously, they run the ball well, but I think he's going to throw the ball a little bit more this week, and the weather's not a problem. Kirk Cousins coming off a very, very bad game against the Cowboys, looking to bounce back. But Belichick, you guys know how his defense is really, really good. Zach Wilson doesn't think he's any good. But Cousins, Goff, Ethan.
It's a tough one. I'll probably go with Goff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I like
both
that.
Short-term and long-term.
Can't trust Kirk Cousins in prime time, so I'm with right. you. All right, Nick. Mac Jones, 31-73, going against Daniel Jones, 26-76. Both are I think both are can have sort of like a big game that in prime time that they've lacked in their career so far, especially Daniel Jones. So I'm going to throw it to you, man. Daniel Jones up doesn't have a lot of receivers. Mac Jones has Joe Judge calling plays. I don't know which one is worse. But who are you going with?
Probably Mac Jones, just because I think Dan Jones is going to be running for his life in this game against the Cowboys. They're going to be third string right tackle, second string left guard, second string center, and no wide receivers other than Darius Slayton. Minnesota's defense is exploitable. New England might be able to move the ball in this game. That's saying a lot for a team that only scored 3 points on offense last week, but I would say Mac Jones just because the matchup's more favorable.
All right, and this is a bonus one that I want to throw in for you guys. You guys will both be able to answer it. TJ Hockenson, who's still looking for a role with Minnesota. I thought they would have something ready by now. At $10.85 versus Hunter Henry, $7.63. If Mac Jones is going to have success in this game, I think the tight ends are going to have to play a role. Ethan, we'll start with you. Hockenson, Henry.
I'm a huge Hawk guy. Huge.
Long-term and short-term.
Both. I think he could be the like a premier kind of guy. Like okay. We talk about in the same sentence as a Kittle and a Kelsey.
$10.85 is not bad for Hockenson.
No, not at all.
Nick? Hockenson, definitely. I'm a big Hockenson guy too. Detroit last year gave him so much volume before he got hurt. And this year, that Minnesota, if they actually use him in the red zone, they have a really good set of skill position guys, Minnesota. I could see a world in which Hawk really has a nice game this week. They're going to need to be able to move the ball in the red zone, especially. Dalvin Cook has been okay running the ball in the red zone. They prefer to throw it, and you're going to have tough matchups on the outside for Thielen and Jefferson. I see a world in which Hawk has a nice game on Thursday.
That is Stock Up, Stock Down presented by Mojo. If you are in New Jersey during the Thanksgiving weekend, pump some money into your Mojo account. Invest in players. Short-term games is fun too. Long-term is also nice as well. Must be 21 and older to use Mojo. And again, located in New Jersey to make trades. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. And now the rest of the show. Thanksgiving. Big game. NFC showdown.
Big game.
Giants, Cowboys. Little juice out of that game for Giant fans. I know I was juiced up. Nick, you knew that a couple weeks ago. It was leading up to this. I said, hey, even if the Giants split these two, I'm good. Like these two, meaning the Texans and the Lions, I'm good because that Thanksgiving game, I'm juiced up for, right? It's a big, big football day outside of the Super Bowl and the playoffs, and the Giants were going to be playing in a very big game. But then players got hurt. A lot of players got hurt.
I was at the game, by the way. I was there this past weekend. It was not a good time. Yeah.
It was cold. Yeah.
It was cold. It actually wasn't that bad in the stadium. The tailgate scenario is way worse. It's just windier in the parking lot than it is inside MetLife. So, I was freezing my ass off during the tailgate. But once I got inside, it wasn't that bad. And then the Giants played and it got bad. A lot of injuries and the turf change in 2023. Cannot come soon enough.
Can I just say, as somebody who's a big proponent of MetLife Stadium,
understand why, but go ahead.
It's time to change the turf. We talked about this earlier, and I was like, I don't know how, like, the statistics behind these injuries, but
I don't care about the statistics. Like, if players on the Jets and the Giants complain about it, if visiting players complain about it, I'm going to take the athlete's word for it.
If 35 different Giant players get MCL sprains on it, it's...
I mean, their entire rookie class is like done.
MCL sprain.
Yeah.
It's time to change that turf or whatever that dirt. I don't even know what it is. It's just a carpet.
Yeah, it's really bad. A really bad carpet.
So Wandale Robinson confirmed the fear. Yep. Torn ACL sucks.
Because he was lighting it up too.
He was. Yeah, you started to see his role. Adoree Jackson, we talked about it. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like, are you one of those people that are like dunking on Brian Daboll? Like, I told you this was a stupid thing.
Yes and no. I think it depends, right? Like, I was one of the people that was banging the table for Odell to be returning punts back in the day, because I think, like, if you have an electric player, you should use him in every scenario, because special teams touchdown, just any special teams touchdown, a kickoff return, a punt return, blocked field goal, blocked extra point, you know, anything. Like, it changes the entire course of a game. You know, we saw Cordarrelle Patterson do it this past weekend. He set the record. Congratulations to him. But I just think it's different for Adoree Jackson. Like, I'm not going to dunk on Dable because Richie James was that bad. But when you have such a lack of depth at a certain position and you're going to say, all right, you're my number one guy at this position, I really can't afford to lose you, I'm going to put you in this situation that typically has a higher percent chance of injury, I can't get on board with it. No head coach is going to be perfect. You know, we've been huge proponents of Dable so far. Some of the main criticisms I've had of him have really been with his clock management. You can chalk this up to number two. Not a fan of using Adoree Jackson as a punt returner, especially because the guy hasn't returned punts since college. You know, like, go get someone off the street, fucking fair catch every punt. Like, I don't care. Just, you're risking injury to a premium position that you can't afford another loss at. And this was the result. So not a fan of it. And, but not the end of the world for me. Again, like, this season was house money. So it sucks to lose a guy like Adoree Jackson, but I'm not going to be like dunking on Dable or taking a victory lap, especially because I didn't really have much conviction about this decision to begin with. Just had a bad feeling in the back of my head, and it sort of came to fruition.
You're still on that it's house money, because yeah. I think once you get to November, December, and you look around the league, specifically the NFC, there's not a part of you that's like, man, like, the Eagles don't, like, I don't know how you feel about the Eagles and the Cowboys, but
still good. Still good. Both teams, but still good.
Are they like the Chiefs or the, you know, I know the Bills have stumbled a little.
No,
bit,
but it's like, not every team is beaters. No, but not every team is going to be the Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, those are obviously the two premium teams, and it helps that the NFC is a disaster this year, with the exception of probably your San Francisco 49ers, who just absolutely dominated the Cardinals last night. But I digress. Yeah, it's house money. It was always house money. It's still house money. The expectations from preseason haven't changed, right? Like, it was, we're just going to go into the season and see what happens. We just know that the team's in good hands. Still the same exact thing. It's just, wow, the Giants won a few more games than we thought and did so against teams that may be worse than we thought, got lucky once or twice, still playing well, but at the same time, it's house money.
How's your feeling about Odell? I know you're somebody that was like, hey,
we debated this. Yeah,
I know.
I don't think he's coming this year. My take is, my take is still, there we go, Nick, finally. So speak up for crying out loud. That's why you're here, is for a third commentary.
Yeah, don't be shy, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my take on the Odell situation has always been not this year, but next year, because they can't afford
a deal. Of course, this year, it's never happening then.
You don't know that. Who's to say? Like, listen, we don't even know when he's going to be on the field. Sometime in December. Yeah. Like, what is the guy? Is the guy's going to play three games for the Giants? At that point, it's probably not going to make any sort of difference in their win-loss record. So yeah, like, they need a receiver. They sign him after this week. What? He's not going to be on the field until one of the Commanders games. I don't even know what the lineation of the schedule is, but like, he's not a guy that's going to make a difference to you this year. And I get that they need receivers. I get that they don't have any receivers that are under contract past next year other than Kenny Golladay and Wandale Robinson, and Kenny Golladay is not even going to be on the team next year. But at the same time, he's looking around the league. He's seeing all the injuries that the Giants had. He's looking at the Cowboys, who just demolished the Vikings, who before this past week were sort of like the, oh, this could be like the sneaky good NFC team because it's such a weak division. He's going to want to go. Well, some did. I did. And he's going to want to go somewhere to ring chase. I would prefer he just goes to not the Cowboys, but I mean, anywhere, the Chiefs, the Bills.
You think he's ring chasing? I don't know if going to Dallas is ring chasing. I think
going you don't think going to play with Dak and probably the best defense in the NFL in the weaker of the two divisions, like the Cowboys have a very clear path. Obviously, like the Eagles having only one loss throws a small wrench into things, but like if you pit the Eagles against the Cowboys in a win or go home game, I am taking the Cowboys.
Well, as somebody that picked the Cowboys to win the division before the season, if you remember, my man, I'm not sold on the Cowboys, and I think if you're ring chasing, I think
But sold on the Cowboys in what capacity? Like, do I think that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl? No, but as the list of the teams that are pursuing Odell, it's probably one of the better options. You don't have to go there and be the alpha. You have a dominant defense and a team that can afford you.
I asked Nick this, and I'm asking you this too because you haven't been here. If you're ring chasing, Buffalo and Kansas City are the better options.
Correct. Sure. I don't think the Chiefs need him. I think really? Buffalo, yeah.
They just lost, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling.
There are zero players that matter to that team outside of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Their offense this year has been just as good without Tyreek Hill. Obviously, you want a guy like Tyreek Hill, but you don't need a guy like Tyreek Hill.
Did you watch the Buffalo game? Did you see the difference between the two teams in that game?
Yes.
I don't care about these regular season games against, you know, they're beating up on these shittier teams, right? I don't care about that. But in terms of receiver help, the Chiefs need it for the playoffs. I'm not trusting Juju Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling, who I've seen in the playoffs and you guys have seen in the playoffs, especially MVS. We've seen him in Green Bay. You probably lost some money because of him a couple of times betting on Green Bay.
Nick and I probably both have.
In terms of ring chasing, in terms of opportunity, I mean,
you go to Buffalo.
Yes, I agree.
I would say Kansas City.
I would say Buffalo.
If you're ring chasing, you're going to Kansas City. This is my opinion.
I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either of the two, but I'm going to Buffalo. And to be honest, if you're a Giants fan, you want him going to Buffalo.
Correct.
Why?
One, you want him in New York. Two, you want him with a regime that is very, very familiar with the Giants' new regime.
Why do I care if he goes to, like, why would I care if he stays in New York?
I'm just saying, it tips the scales a little bit. If you're in the building and you're talking to guys who were so high on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, okay, look at what the amazing job that they're doing down there. You probably have some inside information as to what they're going to be doing with the quarterback position.
100%. I got you on that. But let me ask you this. He seems hell-bent on a multi-year deal.
Okay.
The talk of $20 million a year, There's no shot. Because, like, let's say, why would the Cowboys give him $20 million but then get rid of Amari Cooper?
Right? Because they're not good at their jobs, which they're not.
But why would they do? They're not going to give $20 million a year to Odell Beckham, even like on an accepted deal.
No one is.
So
no one is.
If he's hell bent on a multi-year deal, and Ethan, you just said they need receivers for next year, and short term they need receivers right now too. Obviously, why all of a sudden are we just like not happening this year? Like I feel like if he's ring chasing, that's one thing. But if he's ring chasing, you're saying go to Dallas to ring chase.
I think that doesn't make sense to me. I think you're confusing my two opinions. I would love Odell to come here and sign a multi-year deal. What I think is the smart thing for him to do would just be sign a contract with a team that's a legitimate contender.
A one-year deal.
Not even a one-year deal. You're going to be playing five games if they're a contender.
Right.
Okay. Go play those five games. Go collect like a few million bucks in incentives, and you know, you're healthy for a playoff game. Here's 500 grand. You catch a touchdown pass in a playoff game. Here's another $1 million. Like, go collect that kind of contract. And then in the offseason, when you're healthy and you've probably shown what you can do, teams might be more inclined to give you more money and term.
The other thing is, and I was reading this today, I think it was in Dan's column, was that the only way the Giants could bring him in is if it
was on a multi-year deal. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We had Jordan on like months ago, and he was like, like because the contract is going to be probably incentive heavy if it was a one-year deal, the Giants literally cannot afford that.
Yeah.
I'm all for a multi-year deal. They need him.
Me too.
I would love it.
I don't think it's going to happen this year, though.
I think it's there's a little bit of like smoke.
There's a cat and mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Where, like, yeah. Did you guys see what Darius Slayton did? Like, he sort of gave like a wink, wink. Odell knows where home is. Wink, wink. And like a smirk. Like, hey, I know something that you guys don't.
Nah, yeah, I don't know if it's that, but
well, I'm saying like it's just like it just
Slayton's got Twitter fingers.
Maybe. I just look, I'm open to it. Like, I'm really open to it. Before it was like, Ethan, you know, I was like, this is time to move on. But where they are, what they're the team, what they're looking up at, I just think you gotta, I spoke about this with Nick. Like, you just gotta give these guys a chance. You're not giving up capital. I don't think the contract is going to be like a Kenny Golladay thing where it ruins your cap for future years because you're backloading it. I just think, look, man, just give these guys a chance. You can't do it with what you have right now, especially with Wandale out. So that's just my take on it.
What are the other options?
In terms of
like this, like, but for all, by all means, this is not like the balls in the Giants court situation. Like, the Giants can go out there and offer him that contract.
Of course.
He can say no. And if that's the case, where do you turn?
Well, no. So my thing is, he's available. And he's a free agent. And he's obviously, I think he can help the team when he steps on the field. Because he's better than what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says no, then he says no. It's just, you know, it takes two to tango. I'm not sitting here saying we should break the bank for him. And I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying just give him whatever he wants. There's a huge risk involved in this. And I do have my doubts. But, like, in terms of, like, they need receiver help desperately. He has interest in coming back. Obviously, there's risk
and reward.
I think it's fair to say. There's risk and reward here, right? Just like with any free agent. Why not? Give your guys a shot. Like, this is the NFL, man. Shit can happen. You know, like, I'm not saying
Odell's gonna make this team, but it's not going to. I understand your point.
I'm not saying like this team is gonna be a Super Bowl team, but just give them a shot. Like, don't, like, let's go into, like, if we make the playoffs or this stretch run, give them a shot. Like, don't just trot out, you know, Darius Slayton and a bunch of practice squad people. Like, give them a shot. Let's see what happens. And then if we lose, well, we got Odell going into next year. He's one receiver of maybe two or three we got to add. I don't look at this as like it's 1 year and that's it. Like, to me, it's like, hey, he's 30. I get it. He's probably, you know, hypothetically speaking, a 3-year deal or something like that. You got him for the next 2 years, and that, you know, he's a contributor. He's a solid. He can be a solid receiver. Does that, like, that's it. And if he's finished, then, you know, you can bite the bullet of, you know, it's not going to be some crazy amount of dead money, and you can move on. Like, I don't envision this
I'll give you the Dave Gettleman angle. Giants go out there in a year or two, and they draft a receiver in the first round. Who's going to mentor him?
Damn it. All right. Well, in that case, let's move the fuck on, because I brought Dave Gettleman into this.
Yeah.
All right. Thanksgiving.
Giants are going to get fucking throttled.
Give me a path to victory if you.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
I could give you one.
The Raiders did it last year, and they were fucked up. You know, they had more shit going on with them than we do. So go ahead, Nick.
They had dudes getting arrested. We have guys. Yes. We don't have guys.
The path to victory is the Giants hold the ball for 39 minutes in this game, and the final score is like 17-13, and Dallas only has eight possessions in the entire game. You're going to need a turnover. You're going to have to run the ball well. Dallas's run defense is the real only vulnerability they have. The Giants need to run the ball well, and they're going to be without their starting right tackle, because assuming Neal's now playing, they're going to be down to it. Yeah, you're going to that. You're probably going to have Nick Gates at center, because you're going to have to move. Yeah, you're moving around the offensive line. You have no threats at receiver other than Slayton. You don't have Bellinger back, which there was a possibility of, but we saw today that's not happening. This is going to have to be the all-time smoke and mirrors. Like, you need your trick plays. You need your gimmicky Daniel Jones runs for 15 yards on 3rd and 13 to keep the chains moving. But there is no clear cut. The Giants can outplay Dallas. They can't. They're going to need to keep this game close and hope they can get a special teams or a defensive touchdown to keep them in this game. Because points-wise, Dallas is going to score 29, 30 points in this game easy.
There's one other thing you're missing.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier off-air to me when we sort of talked about this. There's one other thing that they need that's been happening to the Cowboys often on this particular date. What is that? You said
it. Oh, They come into these and it's a letdown spot. They lose to Oakland last year. They lost to Buffalo a couple of years ago. They lost to Washington a couple of years ago. This is a classic letdown spot, especially because they massacred the Vikings on Sunday.
Ethan, path to victory?
There is none. Come on. No, really. Like what Nick said, you're gonna have to run the fuck out of the ball.
Okay.
You're gonna need a turnover, and I don't see it. Giants run game didn't look great. They've been riding Saquon all season. He looked a little bit fatigued. I understand that we're talking dome versus, you know, 30 degrees and outdoors, but man, like Cowboys go up like 7-0, 14-0 early. It's over. Like you put this team in a passing situation, negative game script, that defensive line is going to eat them alive, like real bad. And I know that we're talking about letdown spot, but like there is that other world where the Cowboys very simply just dink and dunk their way down the field, taking advantage of a secondary that is featuring who?
Rodarius Williams.
Rodarius Williams. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they go down the field, they go up early 7-0. The stadium's buzzing. And then it's just downhill from there. I don't see it. I have an awful feeling about this game. I have an awful feeling about the rest of the season.
The Giants are going to win this game.
You're delusional.
All right, that's ridiculous. That's delusional. Absolutely ridiculous.
Giants are going to win this game.
You saw what happened against Detroit, who does not have a good defense. They were down two scores, and the Giants didn't really have a chance to throw their way back into that game. They just didn't.
They're not going to have to throw their way back in this game. They're going to make this a close game like they did in week three.
The first time?
Yeah. Yes. I think it's going to be a close game. And I just think Dallas is due for a letdown. They do play down to their competition. I just want to say, if you look at the season, they played down to Detroit. For a half, they played down to Chicago until Chicago started making some mistakes. I think the Dallas Cowboys are being overrated. I think if you look at what happened to them 2 weeks ago against Green Bay, the Giants are going to have to force turnovers. That's what Green Bay did. They're going to have to – they won't be able to stop the Cowboys, but they can get crucial stops, which I think is going to be necessary. And that's something the Giants have done, this bend, don't break type thing where you get into the red zone, you give up field goals instead of touchdowns. They're going to need a big play from Saquon Barkley. They got it in that Monday Night Football game against the Cowboys. They had that big thing. They're going to need it. And they're going to need to keep this game close, and they're going to have to run the ball well. And I just think – if this game was played on Sunday, I'm with you guys. Like Sunday night, I'm with you guys. But just something about Thanksgiving, and maybe I'm wishful thinking here, but I think Brian Daboll is going to outcoach Mike McCarthy.
I think this
mentality that the Giants are carrying into this game of like, nobody's giving us a shot. Everybody's ruling us out. There's people talking about we're not going to win another game. Like, let's understand. This team is 7-3. I get the injuries, but they're 7-3. Like, just relax. And I think that you get a signature Saquon game this week that we've gotten in the past. And I think the Giants win. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. But it's just something about, like, so I just woke up this morning, and every morning I keep waking up. I woke up at 5 o'clock to watch Saudi Arabia and Argentina, and maybe that played a role in it too.
That's just mental illness.
But I just have a feeling, man. I have a feeling. I haven't been right on the Giants a lot this year, but I just feel like they're going to win this game. It's just something in me, in my mind, not my heart. See, if it's the heart, it's the heart talking.
No, this is absolutely in your heart.
No, this is my mind. This is absolutely in your heart. I just feel like the Cowboys' true colors are more what they showed against Green Bay than Minnesota, and I think the Giants are going to win this game. I do. I'm sorry. I might be wrong, but I'm going with the Giants, man, and I just think they're going to put together a great game plan. They're going to run the ball. They're going to keep Dak on the sideline. I think Dak makes a mistake or two, or actually not just Dak, but the Cowboys make a mistake or two, and the Giants win. They win.
The better question is, can they keep it within 9, Ethan? Can the Giants keep it? That's the number.
Yes.
It opened at 8.5. It's moved to 9 in the day and a half. Can they keep it within 9?
That makes me feel even better about this whole thing.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys better hope that they lose this game, because if I come back here,
I'm why? Because if
I'm not, I want to be wrong.
Yeah,
you sound like the trolls of Giants Twitter. You want them to lose?
No.
You're a hater.
If they win, which I think they will, you guys will see a side of me that you've never seen before on Monday.
I've seen most sides of you.
The juice is flowing. Nick knows. Nick, tell him how the Houston game. I was talking about Dallas. Like I was talking about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a month, a solid 3 weeks of this, of just, we're going to take care of business. We're going to go.
The only doubt I have, is because Adoree's not playing. That's just that hurts me a little bit. But I just have a feeling, guys, and it's in the heart. I mean, not the heart, the head. Like, I just feel like this is going to be one, like, we've had so many of those moments, right, where, like, this ship is, like, this is different. And I'm not talking, like, you know, the whole big picture Super Bowl thing. I'm talking about in terms of like the direction of this franchise. How many of those moments have we had this year? London against Green Bay, Baltimore, week one against Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee,
right?
Missing the field goal.
Right? Right? Like we've had those moments. Like you guys have to understand that's what's keeping me sort of like locked in here. I just think they're gonna have one of those moments again.
Listen, I don't blame you. It's just we've all been waiting for this like turn back into a pumpkin moment, and last week felt like it was it.
Last week was a terrible matchup for them.
It's the fucking Lions.
I know Detroit's it's a matchup great thing. They're not
the one thing I would say for the Giants in this game that to keep an eye. They have not run the ball as well since Bellinger's been out, and they've had to use Cager as the second tight ends. They haven't been able to run the ball as well because they just can't block as well.
Well, Evan Neal's also out.
That's also awesome. Doesn't help either. Yeah. But when they were successful earlier in the year, it was being in those personnel groupings with two tight ends where the defense has to respect the ability to run or pass out of that. They haven't had as many two tight end formations the last couple of weeks because they physically do not have three tight ends to have on the field at the moment. So that's something to keep an eye on. And God, they need Bellinger back so badly. I can't believe I'm saying that about a fourth round pick tight end.
My guy.
But yeah.
The fan base is just really down. I just seen a lot of people just saying things that are just like, I mean, people.
They're fatalist.
They're emotional. Fatalist. Way too emotional. No, this is, come on. Don't be too emotional about this.
Me be emotional?
No.
You think they're going to fucking go out there? They just lost half their team to injury.
No.
As 9-point underdogs, and you're like, oh, they're going to win. The only thing that's giving me a little bit of doubt is Adoree Jackson's injury. Oh, and I'm the emotional one.
No, hear me out.
I heard you out.
I'm talking about in terms of like people are like, I'm out on Dable.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
Like, no.
How many people?
I saw a lot of
that?
Those. I saw, listen, my mentions are like I feel like I'm a psychiatrist sometimes on Sundays because just the stuff that people tweet me. And ever since I opened up my DMs, just the stuff I'm hearing, like, should I start doubting this? I'm like, what?
No.
They're 7-3. Just relax. They lost a game. This happens. It's the NFL, man. You're going to lose. You're going to lose games that you're expected to win, and you're going to win games that you're not expected to win. Like the Cowboys. They were expected to beat Green Bay, and they lost. They were not expected to beat the Vikings, and what happened? They won. This shit happens. You know, it's the NFL. Yeah. It's crazy. It's Thanksgiving. I just think it's a letdown game for the Cowboys. I think everybody's crowning the Dallas Cowboys right now. Everybody's saying this is a Super Bowl team, and, you know, like, what I've heard is, in years past, I've never felt this way. The Cowboys, bullshit. Like, everybody does this every year with this team. They win a big game, you know, on the road against a playoff team, and then everyone is like, this is the year for the Cowboys. I think this is a letdown. And I think the Giants are going to win this game, and I think the conversation is going to be different with the fan base. It's going to be a great weekend for Giant fans. I truly believe that. and America in general, because England and the U.S. play.
Who cares?
Listen, I know you're not a soccer guy, Ethan, but
it'll be fun. And yeah, if we win, we get to make fun of England on Twitter. That alone would make it worth it.
I couldn't pay me to care.
Well, I guess we can scratch off that World Cup segment that I had.
Go ahead. You want to talk World Cup? We could talk World Cup, but it's you like Americans want to be like fake Europeans and care about soccer and wake up early in the morning and be like, oh, what? We're going to go watch Prem League mates at the bar in it. And just like, it's like fucking Nick who claims he enjoys F1. You don't enjoy
F1. I do enjoy F1.
No, you don't. You're trying to
be enjoy F1. I'm with you.
No, you're all trying to be like pretentious Europeans. You don't care about this stuff. Go grab a six-pack of delicious light beer and enjoy a real American football. Not well, this.
You can't drink beer not,
I enjoy both.
Not this. Yeah. This World not this Cup, 0-0. I'm waking up at 6 a.m. to watch 0-0 or freaking Saudi Arabia. Like, who cares? Give me a break.
You went full Francesco. You went full Francesco. That's how I feel.
Listen, it was one of the best moments in sports this year.
Oh, God.
With Saudi. Regardless how you feel about Saudi. And I know, like, that's the thing about these countries playing is, like you can't say anything good about them because it's like everyone automatically goes to the politics.
Say what you want about the Saudis.
Yeah. Say what you want about the Saudis. But that was
it's like the drill tweet. Issuing previous correction about Saudi Arabia. You do not, under any circumstances, got to hand it to them.
That's a bit like... I was trying to like put together a tweet that was like an inspiring Saudi. I was just like, listen, let me just leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah, like, smart.
Same thing with the stadium stuff. I was like, I can't compliment how beautiful these stadiums are in Qatar because of what happened to get to this point. But
they better be beautiful. They're made out of humans.
Right. You know, they're playing in a stadium today that's going to be immediately demolished after the game.
Yes. Yes, they're playing
crazy.
And what do they have in like around the stadium? There's like those.
It's like a refugee camp of shipping containers that people are sleeping in to visit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw those containers pictures. Around.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was the Mexico Poland game, or was that the France Australia? Yeah.
Again, you guys want to wake up at fucking 7 a.m.
I'm not getting up at 5 a.m.
To watch the most corrupt organization ever host a soccer game that ends 0-0.
Here we go. The moral high ground, man. It's soccer.
I do have a football question for you, Ethan. We can circle back to
American football.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
What's the Caleb Williams
European shit? Okay.
What's the Caleb Williams elevator pitch? Because you were in the group. Oh, you were in the Slack. I just got to hear it. I want to hear it laid out because he went into the Slack.
I mean, listen, it's aged really poorly over the last 24 hours because now Colin Cowherd is all about Caleb Williams. So I feel like I got to take a step back here, but like, you take the best parts of Patrick Mahomes and the best parts of Kyler Murray and you put it into a human. There you go.
Okay. That's a pretty good elevator pitch. I'm kind of sold. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Colin Cowherd loves every West Coast quarterback.
He does love every USC quarterback. Yeah,
he does.
He still drools over Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, a lot of people drool over Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah,
for different reasons.
Yes, correct. Jinx. Look, keep it on the Giants. I think people are way too emotional after that game. But I just have a feeling, guys, like you guys don't understand. Like, this is not for show. You guys know I don't do this shit I'm not a take guy. I don't like to take victory laps.
Oh, I know, we know.
I don't. But you brought up the 49er thing. I don't even remember about that 49er thing. I just figured everybody would agree with me that the 49ers are going to win the NFC West. But I just think that, you know, it's going to be a special weekend for the Giants and their fans.
I hope so.
It would be nice. It would be nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys Are you guys big on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind.
Love the holiday. I think the food is overrated.
Hey, Ethan, let me ask you. You just had a baby. One of the things that I go through, or not I went through, but like one of the things that happens in my culture is that we don't take the baby out for the first month.
Okay.
And are you doing that same thing? Or
why is that?
Multitude of reasons. I'm not going to get into it. It's highly controversial.
Okay.
But it's an old school thing that happens with, you know, in my culture. I just want to see, is that something that you do too? Part of it's because you don't want the baby to get sick.
But yeah, that's basically it. RSV is in full swing. So
yes,
that's really the only reason. Not cultural, but.
So staying home, huh? Does Thanksgiving is at home?
Oh yeah, at home.
Nick, how about you?
Yeah, no, we're staying at home.
Man, you guys have a boring Thanksgiving. I got two Thanksgivings.
I'm gonna
one at my aunt's house, one at my in-laws' house.
One on the same day?
On the same day,
brother. That sounds like a nightmare.
On the same day, brother.
I don't want to get up off the couch.
Listen,
correct.
And let me tell you guys about you guys know I'm Afghan.
Yeah.
You guys, we put Afghan food and, you know, Thanksgiving food together. Like it's a home run, man. Like we go all out. Afghans have in America have basically hijacked Thanksgiving and rewritten the way it's supposed to be. And I think that if they go public with like how they do things, Americans will adapt.
You got to be the trendsetter.
I have to be. Yo, we got lamb on Thanksgiving.
Who does lamb? Oh, that's fire.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying, brother.
Because turkey's that's mid. Yo, yeah, exactly. If I had a whole roasted lamb, I'd be no happy. Idea.
We got the rice with the carrots and the raisins on top sitting next to the turkey.
That's like the whitest thing I've ever heard. Rice with carrots and raisins. That's Afghani.
It's like brown rice, and then you put the carrots.
Brown rice? Oh my God, this dish sounds awful.
No, it's not your typical brown rice.
You should have stopped at lamb.
Nah, see, now there you go again. You don't even, I'm telling you. I will send you guys some pictures to our group chat.
Okay.
Please.
In the corner is all that mashed potatoes and mac and cheese stuff that nobody really eats.
What do you mean? That's the best part of Thanksgiving is the
side. The side dish, correct.
It fills you up, man. Stuffing is really good.
Stuffing's mid.
Oh, my God. Well, good thing we have this segment that I wanted to do with you guys about this. You guys have anything else on the Giants before we get into this?
I've really been
looking forward to doing this ever since I saw your salad as a dessert take, which I laughed and I got to give you credit. That was original. I have never heard that before.
Bro, Italians do it.
Really?
Yeah, apparently Italians do it. That's like the number one response I got was all these people saying it's actually an Italian thing.
I was in Italy a couple like years ago. I didn't see that.
Bro, go look at my retweets. That's what people are saying. People are saying that's like an old Italian thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
You've never been at a dinner table and you've had like the salad comes out early, but like you don't finish all of it, and then like you eat all your main courses and like there's no dessert yet or at all, and like you're picking it like the Caesar salad, and it's like, oh, this is great, like it's light, it's nice, it's like dessert salad.
So I have a couple of family members that they eat the main course first, and like Afghan food main course, like you got the rice and like the meat and all that, it's heavy food. They eat that first and then they eat their salad, and I'm like, why do you do that?
There you go.
Why don't you just mix it together? Like do the rice with everything. They're like, nah, salad at the end. But it's not dessert. They have separate things for dessert. But like they drink green tea. Like I can't imagine sitting there drinking green tea and having a Caesar salad. Oh, this is my this is my dessert. Like, really?
No, listen, admittedly, this is like a scenario where you don't have like a cake or a pie. Like you're just you want, like you're not totally full, but you don't want seconds or thirds, and you're just like picking at something that's light on the side to sort of top you off.
Well, I wanted to do this bracket thing with you. So I went online right before we came on the air, and I just was like Googling like top Thanksgiving foods and looking at rankings. So I try to rank this as best as like Google told me to.
Okay.
So I'm going to go right down the list. Nick, you're in this too. I'm in it. Three people. One of us is either going to be a clean sweep, or one of us is going to play tiebreaker. So let's just start right off the top. Turkey, squash. I'm a big turkey guy. Love turkey.
Was that the bracket?
That's 1 versus 16, man. Listen.
I thought it was – oh, wow. I must have read it wrong. I thought it was turkey versus dinner rolls. Okay, look, so
– all right. Turkey versus squash.
Turkey.
Okay, good. Pecan pie or apple pie?
Apple pie. Apple. Easy.
Okay.
Easy. Apple.
Yes. Sorry. My computer froze.
Dreaming of food over there.
So cornbread/corn casserole was like together, and it was highly ranked.
This was done on purpose. Whoever made this bracket did this because they needed a 12-5 upset. In no scenario is cranberry sauce a 12th ranked Thanksgiving food. Well, much higher.
Food.
Much higher.
Listen, sauce, you're not... It's not the same.
It's not an actual sauce. It's a side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a side. But I actually like cornbread casserole. It's one of my favorite.
Cranberry sauce. By the way, both. I like the homemade stuff.
Yes.
And I love the fucking canned gelatin stuff. Oh, God, it's fire. And by the way, if you are an individual out there that wants to take your homemade cranberry sauce to the next level, throw mandarin oranges in there.
All right. Well, I'm going to be a normal person, and I'm not going to choose.
Normal person.
A sauce over a very good dish that takes a lot of hard work to make. So I'm going to go with the cornbread/corn casserole.
Wrong.
Maybe because the people that cook Thanksgiving dinner for me know how to cook cornbread and corn casserole. No offense to you guys, but I'm going to go with the
quote. I mean, that was very obviously meant in offense to us.
Listen, I told you we do it differently. So I'm going to go with the corn casserole of cornbread. Nick, you're the tiebreaker.
I like both of these dishes a lot, but cranberry sauce is a treat. You have it once a year. It's a novelty. It is a very Thanksgiving thing. Like, there I have go. Cornbread with other meals. Like, cranberry sauce I have once a year, and it's on Thanksgiving.
There we go.
Yeah.
Can we get this guy out of here? I don't know why. How are you? I actually had cornbread casserole making a run at this thing, and now we're out in the first round.
We're out in the first.
We didn't do the 8-9 matchup. Apple pie, pecan pie. Really?
No, we
good
did.
Yeah, we did apple.
Yeah, we did apple. Yeah,
apple. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be an interesting 8-9 matchup, but
no.
Yeah, okay.
That's decisive fun. Victory.
All right. Moving on. 4-13 matchup. Mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts. Mashed potatoes is gonna wax Brussels sprouts. Not even close. Yes. I don't even.
They are, but I don't think. Listen, mashed potatoes is a system side.
Yeah, you need good gravy,
exactly.
Or good veggies with it. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Mashed potatoes needs to give a lot of NILs.
Yes. Mashed potatoes needs the transfer portal.
Gotta get those guys in.
Yes. Brussels, that's a little bit low ranking. Listen, you do Brussels right. Brussels are phenomenal, but mashed potatoes is walking away with this one.
Brussels are good. I just do it with steak, not the
sure.
Not that stuff. Moving ahead.
I just have a bad feeling about this one. I think, Weiss, I think you're about to give an awful take on this one, but go ahead and read the matchup.
Mac and cheese, dinner rolls. Here's the thing.
Yeah, here we go.
When it comes to no. No. See, you're always jumping the gun with me. When it comes to bread, nothing beats Afghan bread. Dinner rolls, I do not even put on my plate. Mac and cheese, okay. I can go with it. It's also a big leftover thing. It can do the back-to-back. Dinner rolls cannot.
Stand alone, you can eat it.
Yeah. When you do the dinner rolls, if they're not eating, they're warm, stale, don't even want them anymore, right?
Yeah.
Mac and cheese, it's a leftover. It's a tradition. Especially the way it gets made with my Thanksgiving stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go with mac and cheese.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. There you go. Easy. See? Here we go.
Easy.
All right. Salad. Oh, excuse me. Green bean casserole is the 6th seed. Salad is the 11th seed. Ethan, I'm gonna let you start.
Salad.
You're a big salad guy.
Salad.
Salad.
In any kind of salad.
I mean I prefer a Caesar, but I just like salad in general.
Yeah, I'm going to go with salad too. You got to have salad.
I just don't like green bean casserole.
Yeah.
My dad loves that shit.
I like green bean casserole, but salad, man, it's just you got to have salad at the table. You don't have salad at the table. It's like leaving your house without a belt on. You know, your pants start falling down.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel right. You know what I'm saying? You don't look right. You got to go with the salad. I'm with you guys.
We got a bracket error here, by the way, with the 7-10 matchup.
I have gravy and pecan pie.
Pecan pie is getting in twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is pumpkin pie. My bad.
This one's pumpkin pie?
Yeah, 7-10 is pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Gravy's winning, but yeah.
It's close. It's close.
I do not put gravy on my table, but I'm not a selfish guy. A lot of people that go to Thanksgiving dinner with me, they like the gravy. I personally.
Very big of you.
Yes. Everywhere I go, if I'm getting mashed potatoes, hey, listen, man, don't give me the gravy. I'm good on gravy. It kind of grosses me out a little bit. I'm not a big gravy guy. So I eat my mashed potatoes, just mashed potatoes, no gravy. So,
God.
I'm going to have to go with pecan pie because
pumpkin,
I'm sorry. If this was pecan pie, I would have gone with pecan pie, but I'm going to go with gravy.
Gravy.
Gravy? Gravy. All right. This is easy. Peas, stuffing. Listen, I don't know what the hell peas are. I don't know who eats
I didn't even
peas.
Know that was a thing. Yeah stuffing, like, fine.
Stuffing, yeah. Like, just easy. All right. Go back to the second round. We got turkey versus apple pie.
Apple pie.
Turkey.
Pie's the winner.
You can. How are you going to have these? I'm not.
Turkey's mid. Turkey's is so mid. Yeah.
Turkey's Wichita State from, like, that one. Turner, like, when they put him against Kentucky. You remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Next, well, who got...
was when Mizzou was like the second seed and they lost?
Yeah, to Norfolk State.
That was Norfolk State. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. This was Wichita State. They were the one, and then like the NCAA randomly decided, hey, Kentucky's an 8 seed, even though they were clearly like a 4 seed. But yeah, I still like turkey. I'm a big turkey guy. But again, it's just
apple pie. Moving on.
cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. I mean, listen, the mashed potatoes, I stick by it. They're a system side, but I need that. I need that more than I need cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I'm Irish poverty. If I didn't take potatoes, my ancestors would curse me forever. So mashed potatoes.
Okay.
I'm with you guys, man. Man, the cranberry sauce.
Especially you. I mean, mashed potatoes going far for you if you're eating them just dry.
Yeah, I don't know why cranberry sauce is even here. Mashed potatoes got lucky.
That's insulting, but okay.
To get here, they get to catch cranberry sauce in the second round. Mac and cheese and salad.
Oh, mac and cheese. Come on. Just quick, rapid fire. Let's get through this one. Mac and cheese.
All right. I'm going to say salad, but okay, I'll give you mac and cheese. Gravy and stuffing.
This is a good one.
This is not your average 2-7 matchup.
No, not at all.
This is that Saturday, 7 o'clock, CBS, yep. Jim Nance, Grant Hill. You know, this is that one. So, stuffing, gravy. You guys go.
Gravy.
Yeah, because stuffing is very hit or miss. If somebody makes it poorly, it can be god awful.
No. Here's the thing: when you're making this pick, you envision this dish being made to your liking. Not, well, some people cook it differently than others. No, I'm talking, you're building your plate or your table of Thanksgiving food. You don't have, you know, there is no like, oh, it depends who makes it. No, it is your top of the line
gravy.
Stuffing.
Still gravy.
Versus your gravy. Top of the line gravy.
Jesus. I think I'll go gravy.
I will never spend Thanksgiving with you guys, ever. All right, back at the top. This is an interesting one. Apple pie versus mashed potatoes.
It's a good one.
It is a real good one. Oh, God. Okay, I got my answer.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ethan.
Mashed potatoes. Listen, system side, just like the Tim Duncan of sides. Just they are just so fundamentally important to the meal.
Yeah.
And so fundamentally sound. It's got to be mashed potatoes. It was always mashed potatoes.
Apple pie is probably the third best pie on my list of pies.
So I agree.
Obviously, I'm going to go with mashed potatoes.
Okay.
And Nick, it doesn't matter what you think.
So you can
2-1. I'm mashed potatoes anyway, so it's
all fine. Right. Mac and cheese and gravy.
Mac and cheese, I'll go.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
You know, I had a feeling it was going to come down to this. I just didn't think we were going to get here this way.
Yep.
But we have mac and cheese versus mashed potatoes.
Well,
I like both of these a lot.
We all know where Weiss is. Weiss is going to be the mashed potatoes guy. So now it's going to come down. I'm going to make Nick the deciding vote then, because I am mac and cheese.
I think I like my favorite mac and cheese is better than my favorite mashed potatoes. I think I would go mac
okay.
and cheese.
Yeah. Mac and cheese is the winner.
Yeah.
The food that Weiss said he wouldn't touch if it was sitting in the corner.
I don't remember the last time I had mac and cheese on Thanksgiving.
Funny how that works.
I can't believe you guys did that.
Well, here we are.
I'm just so disappointed. So disappointed in this bracket. This is just, it's terrible. Terrible.
This is your idea.
It was. I thought it would go better than I expected. Terrible, terrible, terrible bracket. But there it is. So mac and cheese, right? That's the winner.
That's the winner.
That's the big dish. So that's our episode, man.
That's our episode.
Ethan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nick, you're a part of this now. Feel free to speak up more often. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't got to raise your hand. I know daddy's back, but that, you know, that's okay. Yes. You know, the new dad of the show. But hey guys, thanks for listening. Ethan, wrap us up.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Go Giants.